Oh, my goodness. Well, it's time to play Where's Waldo, except instead of the name Waldo, I put Mark Philbrandt in there from Big Dog Ag, because he's usually on the move somewhere. Mark, how you doing?
Doing good, Derek. Doing good down in South Dakota today.
What are you up to? Just doing some hunting or anything, something fun? Or
no, hunting is done. That finished up last month there, so we got that out of the way. But visiting with a grower down here, and we're just talking about some new concepts that are out there that we've really been taking a look at here the last couple weeks, and it's talking more about regenerative ag, and that's things that Gabe Brown out by Mandan does a lot with that. We've been listening to Mulvaney and Dr. Mulvaney, and also the Dwayne Beck down in South Dakota. But there's just a lot of people out there talking about cover crops and how we can try to do a better job of taking care of our ground and being able to get a better return on what we're doing for the ground.
Sure. And is this something you're going to be running through Big Dog Ag?
Well, we're definitely looking at it and implementing some of these things into our program, because we just feel that we need to figure out a better way to be able to hopefully do a better job and get a better ROI on to the growers, and trying to take care of the ground a little better, try to figure out a way to get this water to go into the ground instead of running off the ground and or ponding, which is a real issue that we have over in the valley. So
yep, absolutely. Well, Mark, we got a few minutes here, and you dropped the term on me. I've heard it before, but I get in concept what it's about, but maybe you could just give us a few minutes, and maybe for some growers out there, why regenerative agriculture could be for them.
Well, it comes down to, and it's a lot of the concepts are just basic concepts. It's just trying to grow multi-species instead of just running a monoculture, like just running corn or beans or any of that, trying to do a rotation, get wheat into the rotation. They've been doing a lot of work with multi-species cover crops that they get growing after the crop gets done, so that we can, with the cover crops that I wasn't thinking about, is as you put a multi-species in there, you're going to have all different kinds of crops that'll grow no matter if it's wet or it's dry. And they're also all competing for pore space. So the more roots you can get growing, the more organic matter you can get, the better you can get to be able to get a return. And it helps bring more of the nutrients out of the ground. So it's just a concept that, you know, that they've been looking at. We've been just doing a lot of YouTube watching and visiting with that. They've got a program you can go on to and take a full-length seminar with them, and that's, I'm going to get started on that here this week yet. But just trying to learn how we can do a better job of taking care of the soil and just be able to get our inputs down and be able to still increase our ROI. The big thing is getting more return on our investment.
So in some ways, and what you're talking about, growers have been doing this maybe to a degree, but now they're probably a better science to this whole thing to be more effective.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it is. Dwayne Beck, he said he's down in South Dakota here out west, and he was saying that they've had regenerative on their sign. He's with South Dakota State and USDA, U.S. Agriculture. And they've definitely been looking at this over the time, but they've been finding ways now that you can incorporate it with what you're doing in the program. And they've got some real practices that you can do and things that you can do that can help you move into that style of farming.
You talked about the return on investment could be there. How about time to do something like this? Is there a lot more time involved?
No, there really isn't a lot more time. It's just you're reappropriating your time. It'd be like planting a cover crop somewhere in season, but then those covers are also going to help provide nutrients that are going to make it so you don't have to be spending more money or making another pass. You know, you get cover on the ground to be able to make it so that you don't have to be spraying herbicides and that kind of stuff. But it's all a full-blown thing, but we got to try to find a nice, smooth way to move it from the direction that we're going now and move it in a 3 or 4 year, 5 year program to get stuff switched over and make sure it works and it's profitable for us.
Right. Probably the biggest thing is just planning, right? I mean, just figuring out exactly what you're going to do and kind of laying out.
Yeah, it was interesting. I listened to a guy here just yesterday, and I was always figuring that you were going to be giving up yield going into a program like this because you'd be able to cut your inputs and still be able to have a better ROI. But he had showed that he did 318 bushel corn over in Illinois, and I just go, man, if you can do 318 bushel corn with us, it's something that we should be able to utilize, because what he's doing is what I feel we should have to do in the long run anyway. We have to figure out a way to release more of the nutrients that are in the soil itself. There's plenty of them out there. They're just all tied up, and we got to figure out ways, and that's what I want to utilize this, is to help release the nutrients that we already have in the soil.
Okay. And so when you get back, does that mean you're going to be full speed, ready to take questions and help people design a program?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do. We're going to do it together and learn together, and that's our whole deal, is trying to be able to incorporate it with the farms that we're already working with. We've got a lot of areas that we've got low yielding, and it's usually because there's water standing there. And I think a lot of those problems are water infiltration, and I think we can utilize some cover crops to get us to be able to take up that water a lot faster, so we don't have to be worrying about ruts and that kind of stuff.
But sure.
Getting better infiltration of water, I think, is one of our major things we're trying to accomplish.
Sure. Okay. We'll get some more contact information in just a moment, but kind of wanted to get your sense for spring. I know it's several weeks away, but and you actually, up in the Felton, Minnesota area, you've gotten some moisture, correct? You're not in kind of that drought phase that a lot of North Dakota's in?
Yeah, we're not yet, but I mean, it doesn't take long. You know, I mean, the thing of it is I just don't like seeing all that dirt blow around, because we don't have quite enough snow out there to cover it all up, and that we don't like moving dirt around, and that's kind of an erosion thing. So, but no, we're okay with moisture right now, but I'll take some moisture in the middle of March and get a nice bunch of snow then, because then it's not here very long.
Well, the thought process is we get moisture in the spring, and we're definitely going to need some, depending on where you're at. I know that you know, some of the places in the fall that got those heavy rains, the subsoil is still pretty wet. Maybe the topsoil isn't, but other areas, it is bone dry, and that's a factor for a good portion of North Dakota. And I'm curious, Mark, is anybody, because we're just trying to get a sense of what the spring and summer is going to be like, and I haven't heard anybody say it's going to be really wet by any means. So is there anybody maybe thinking about a crop change to do maybe a crop that's a little bit more forgiving if there isn't a lot of moisture?
Well, I think that's something we have to look at, and I'm thinking that we may have to move to a little more spring wheat. Then if we do that, so we get some spring wheat in there, I think we might be able to incorporate some of these cover crops into that, so we can get it off soon enough that we can utilize some of these things and see if these programs work to be able to get us, so we can get better infiltration of water to hold on to it longer, so that we can, when we do go through the drier stages, we have a way to hold on to water capacity in our soils.
Sounds great. Well, Mark, kind of at the end here, Big Dog Ag, basically, why don't you give us some contact information if there's something we talked about in the last 8-10 minutes here that you would be interested in, maybe find out a little bit more about what Big Dog Ag is all about. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, just give me a call on my cell phone. That's 218-790-0013, or look us up on the web at bigdogag.com.
All right, thank you, my friend. I suppose we got to get you back to learning.
Yep, we got to get ready for the next season, but it all comes down to the 4 R's of nutrient management, and this is just another cog on that, and it's just very important to make sure that we can get some ROI out of it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye. Mark Philbrandt, Big Dog Ag. It's